Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Christ is risen.
Truly, he is risen.
Oh, that was terrible. The response is, "Truly, he is risen." Let's try that. "Truly, he is risen." Okay, let's try it again. "Christ is risen."
"Truly, he is risen."
A little bit better, a little bit better. "Christ is risen."
"Truly, he is risen."
All right, very good. Happy Easter. That is one of the responses, greetings, that particularly Eastern Rite Catholics and Orthodox use at Easter time. "Christ is risen, truly he is risen." Some people put it on their answering machines. What a great way of celebrating the good news that we're celebrating right now, the good news of our salvation. If you remember, during the season of Lent, we look back on the journey of salvation, beginning with the very beginning of creation, the fall of Adam and Eve, and then how God came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses to let the people know that he was there for them, that he wanted to save them. And he did great things to convince them that he wanted to free them from slavery, not just in the physical sense, but the slavery of the power of sin and death. And as we went through that Lenten journey again and again, the people began to be faithful and then they turned away. That was the story of salvation in the Old Testament in particular. People hearing the good news, but then wanting to go back to slavery. Slavery in the physical sense and slavery to the power of sin and death. So the Easter season is about the culmination of that journey of salvation, the fulfillment of it. God simply didn't say, "Well, you people don't get it. I'm not going to do any more for you. You will be condemned," whatever. He didn't say that, but rather, he became a human being. He suffered. He died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. And through those saving actions, God defeated the power of sin and death once and for all. and he reopened the gates of paradise, which were closed because of the sin of Adam and Eve. So we're celebrating the fulfillment of God's promises, the promises that are all about salvation. And in the readings at Easter, we read about what happened in the early church when people grew in their faith, when they were convinced that Jesus had suffered and died and rose from the dead. What changes occurred in the church? How did the church get going? Well, it's a dramatic, dramatic change that happened. If you remember, originally the apostles were stuck in an upper room because they were afraid. We have one of those readings today. But Jesus showed himself so that they were convinced that what God promised, God accomplished, so that they could be on fire with the faith. And what does Jesus say three times in the gospel today? Peace be with you. He's saying, no fear, no anxiety, but peace. I want this for you. I'm giving it to you. So what comes along with faith should be peace. Peace, not fear, not anxiety. And that's what the early church took to themselves, that peace of Christ, that fearlessness. So all through the season of Easter, which is 50 days, not 40 days like Lent, but 50 days, we read from the Acts of the Apostles. And today we have a beautiful reading about the changes that occurred among the believers. And this past week we had some of those readings as well. We're told that in one day, through the preaching of Peter, 3,000 people came to believe in the Messiah. How many people have you converted? How many people have you brought to faith? Well, we have the same faith as Peter. Have we brought 3,000 into the church? And in today's reading from the Acts of the Apostles, what do we hear? Well, we hear that the faithful got together every day as a community. They broke bread, which means they celebrated the Mass. They listened to the teachings of the apostles and they obeyed those teachings. And they prayed. These were marks of the early church. It also says something very radical. It says that they held all their possessions in common. What they had, they sold, gave to the apostles so that they could distribute the money to support everybody. So they didn't hold on to their own property. They didn't hold on to their own possessions. They were so fixed on Jesus Christ and the gift of salvation that they changed amazingly. Were willing to give everything over to the service of the gospel. Has Easter changed us in that way? Are we willing to give everything over in service to the gospel? Have we come out of the tomb? Are we still in the darkness of the tomb because we're afraid, because we don't quite trust God, because our faith is weak? You know, when we read that gospel about Lazarus, what did Jesus say? He didn't say, well, stay in the tomb, Lazarus. He said, come out into the light. And that's what God says to us. Get away from that tomb, which is all about fear, which is all about anxiety, which is about distrust of God. Don't cling to false gods. Don't cling to idols and golden calves, whatever they may be, houses, careers, cars, money, possessions. But if you truly believe that you have been freed from the power of sin and death, that you don't have to be afraid of dying or death or suffering, then the invitation is there to let go of it all, to bring it forth for the service of the gospel. Now, that's what the early church did. We're talking about hundreds, thousands of people that were so grateful to God for what God has done for them, that they were willing, in a sense, to risk it all, to give it all away in return for eternal glory. So again, the question that we in this church today have to ask ourselves is, are we changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are we changed every single day? Are we becoming more generous? Are we willing to support those who are in need without judging others or counting the cost or saying, you know, that's mine, I earned it? Or are we willing to say, no, God, everything belongs to you. You have trusted me so that I can use what I have in order to build up the kingdom of God. Are we like that? Are we willing to give it all over in service to the Lord to proclaim the gospel message so that other people will come to faith? Now, one of the reasons why the early church was successful in bringing people into the church was because they truly lived their faith. They didn't hide behind the old way of living, their old lifestyles, their convenient and comfortable way of living. No, they changed. And people saw that. And people said, wow, you've really changed. You really believe this. I want to believe too. I want to have that joy that you have, even in the midst of pain and suffering. And the reason why we're here this morning is because of the early church, because of what those people were willing to do, to sell their property and give it to the apostles to provide for everyone, because they weren't afraid to be martyred, to be tortured, to be thrown to the animals. Are we good descendants of our forebears? Are we like them? Have we been changed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Are we on fire with our faith? Do we really trust God? That's what it comes down to. Do we really trust God that if I live my life as Jesus calls me to live it, that God will always be with me and I don't need to be afraid of anything? I don't. Because God has everything under control and he's always giving us what we need each and every day so that we can be not just good Christians who go to Mass every week and so forth and so on, but that each day we're looking for more ways to be faithful to the gospel, to be faithful to Jesus Christ, to be willing to encounter other people and tell them about Jesus Christ, to do what Jesus tells us to do, to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, to welcome the stranger, not to say, geez, I don't know you, get out, you might do something to me, but rather, in the name of Christ, I welcome you, regardless of what happens. Again, that is what the early church embraced. Now, not everybody, obviously, but literally thousands did embrace it so that the church began to grow exponentially. Again, because of the witness that the early Christians gave. It had to be a very striking and powerful witness for the church to grow so quickly. It wasn't simply because they saw these people doing the same things they always did, but rather they saw them creating a whole new schedule for themselves, a whole new way of living, not worrying about this, that, or the other thing, but willing to come together every day to pray, to break bread, celebrate the Eucharist, to listen to the teachings of the apostles, to grow in their faith, and to be a community of believers. So we too are called to be a community of believers, to support not just one another, those of us here, but to go out into the world as the apostles did and the early Christians did to proclaim the gospel. If you heard it, this is what Jesus said in the gospel when he appeared to the apostles. He said, as the Father has sent me into the world to proclaim the gospel, to suffer and die, so I send you, meaning I send you out into the world to live what I have taught you, to even suffer and die, but to proclaim the gospel in word and deed. Again, that is what Easter is all about. It's not just beautiful decorations, which are certainly appropriate, not just about the little things that we do on Easter, but it really is an earth-shattering celebration of 50 days where we're called to wrestle with our beliefs, our faith, and to ask ourselves, do I really believe? Am I willing to give it all over to God? Or am I going to compromise? Am I going to say, no, Lord, I'll do only this much, so forth and so on, because I've got to be in control of my life, when in fact, none of us are in control of our lives. So again, the question, has the resurrection changed our lives? Tomorrow, will we be different in the way we do things, in the way we think, in the way we speak? Will we take literally what Jesus said to the disciples, I'm sending you out into the world to proclaim the gospel? In the prayer that our bishops composed for the new evangelization, one part goes like this. We're told that we are called to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel. And the prayer goes like this. If not me, then who? If I don't proclaim the gospel, who is going to do it? And that's for each of us to remember. Each of us is called to proclaim the good news of salvation, to go into the world and say, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, especially to go to those who live in darkness and despair, who don't know that they can come out of the tomb, who are still in that tomb wrapped up in burial cloths, who are living in fear, who are living in anxiety, who are living in a lack of trust. We are called to go out and to say to them, come forth, come out of that tomb, because you are a child of the light. You have been freed from the power of sin and death once and for all, so that you can be a wonderful, glowing child of the Lord, so that other people will see the way you live your lives, the way you speak, what you do, and people will say, that's what I want to. So this celebration is not just for us, it's for us so that we can take it into the world and bring it to those who are waiting for us to proclaim it to them. And sadly, many people die every day without ever hearing that good news. And we will be judged on that ultimately. We will be judged on that because we have been given the answer to everything, Jesus Christ. So how are we going to celebrate the remainder of the Easter season and every other season and celebration of the church year? Are we going to celebrate it as convinced and convicted Christians who truly believe that Jesus Christ won the victory for us so that we can be like the early Christians and give everything over to the Lord? Or are we going to keep retreating to our nice little tombs, worshiping our false little gods, our golden calves that cannot save, that can do nothing for us but keep us in the darkness? That's our choice. But just as Jesus said to Lazarus, come out into the light, that's what Easter is for us. Jesus says, come out into the light, live the gospel, and celebrate it. Be joyful. Show the joy of Easter in your face so that people will want to know what it's all about. And then we'll be able to teach them what it's all about and have them join our Christian community. That's Easter in a nutshell. That's what we're called to remember, to celebrate, and to live, to change our lives around the gospel, not to change the gospel to fit us, but to change our lives to fit the reality of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ.